Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sarah, Shlomo Ben Sarah, and Dorit Bat Sarah, and to Ilui Neshamot, which means elevating of the souls, for Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Zipora Fegi Bat Liba. Well, now Joseph Biden, unfortunately, is President of the United States. Kamala Harris, unfortunately, is Vice President. We have a disastrous new administration with catastrophic policies in power. And one of the first things that's happening is this crisis on the southern border of the United States-Mexico border. You have huge mobs from Honduras and other Latin American countries, countries in Central America, South America, from all over Latin America. Huge mobs are marching toward the southern border and they want to cross the southern border. We've seen this happen in the United States, in Europe, and other places. And in the end, if you recall, you remember in Germany, a million Muslims marched into Germany and have stayed there. And they were welcomed there and allowed to stay there. A million Muslims from just one of these incidents in Europe. And now we have a situation where the United States could become an even greater magnet for third world hostile groups of people coming in and coming in illegally and then eventually becoming legalized. Because that's what the Biden administration intends to do. They intend to make the United States a magnet for illegal aliens from all over the world. And then to legalize them, then to put them on the path to citizenship. Because they know that the illegal aliens, once they become citizens, are going to vote Democrat and are going to be leftists and socialists, which is what the Democrats want as the majority culture in this country. And it's become the majority culture in this country. Now, because of issues like this, we told you that as bad as Donald Trump is, Joe Biden would be even worse. And I think that that's going to be true. However, I cannot avoid asking this question to all the Trump supporters. Because if Donald Trump had built the wall that he promised to build, that he swore in rally after rally in 2016, every rally he held, he always promised... He promised repeatedly that he was going to build what he called a big, beautiful wall all across the U.S.-Mexico border. Remember that? He said it was going to be a big, beautiful wall. And he said, and I'm an architect, and I'm a builder. I know how to build walls. And he was going to build a big, beautiful wall all across the U.S.-Mexican border. That's about 1,400 miles of wall that he would have had to build. In the end, he built 40 miles of wall. Not 1,400, 40. In the end, Donald Trump didn't even, when he became president, for the first 2 years, he didn't build any wall. For 2 years, for the first 2 years of his presidency, for the first half of his administration, he didn't even start, he did nothing to build a wall. He was so immersed in trying to glorify himself and only in worrying about himself and his own family and his own situation, which is Donald Trump's life history. That's his biography. Donald Trump only cares about Donald Trump. And so he never built the big, beautiful wall. I ask you, why didn't he build the wall? Why didn't he do what Ted Cruz suggested suggested be done? Ted Cruz said on day one he was going to immediately sign executive orders and get this thing moving. Donald Trump eventually did that. He eventually signed executive orders and got some wall construction going, but he did it very timidly and he did it very late. Ted Cruz would have done it aggressively and effectively, and it was upheld in the courts, by the way. The executive orders were upheld in the courts. Trump would have been able to build a wall all across the U.S.-Mexico border. There's no excuse. He would have been able to do it. He was succeeding in diverting money from the Defense Department and other projects to wall construction because he said it was necessary for national defense. And the courts did not want to overrule him and second-guess him on that. And that's what Ted Cruz suggested doing originally. And said Ted Cruz was going to do it on day one, just like Joe Biden just signed 17 executive orders on the first day of his presidency. Ted Cruz was going to sign numerous executive orders on the first day of his presidency, and one of those executive orders would have been to immediately begin aggressive wall building and aggressively building a wall all across the U.S.-Mexico border. But Trump didn't do that. Trump never built the wall. He only built about 40 miles of wall out of 1,400 miles on the U.S.-Mexico border. And even the so-called wall in the places where he did, there are places where he did do more building or fixed some broken fences and other things that we had from the Obama era. But no wall was built. And illegals are able to cross the border now just as before. Nothing was solved. If Donald Trump had built this wall, a big, beautiful wall, as he promised he was going to do, all across the U.S.-Mexico border, you wouldn't have this crisis now because the illegals would be unable to scale a gigantic wall with barbed wire and all the other things that should have been put in place and that Ted Cruz proposed putting in place. If it was all across the U.S.-Mexico border, that would be a big do not enter sign that everyone in the third world would understand. And that plus technology plus watching people, because it would take a long time if they tried to scale the wall, they'd have to bring big ladders and try to scale it, and they'd have to get how would they get past all the barbed wire and all the other obstacles that Ted Cruz was going to build on the wall. So he didn't keep his promise. There is no big beautiful wall. And the only one that I see who was honest about this, the only Trumpster that I see that was honest, was Ann Coulter. You remember Ann Coulter was one of Donald Trump's most enthusiastic supporters in 2016. She spoke at his rallies. She pushed his candidacy. She was one of the most prominent voices in the so-called conservative movement in the United States. She was always on Fox News. She was always doing interviews on talk radio. She was all over the place. Ann Coulter was one of the biggest people on the so-called right in the United States, in the so-called conservative movement. I say so-called because it's not real conservatism. But she was one of the big voices and one of the big spokespeople. She was always there. She was one of the most prominent people. Do you remember? She had a syndicated column in hundreds of prominent newspapers and websites that was tens of millions of people read what she was writing. And again, she went on all the she was invited on all the programs on Fox, on all the programs over and over again to do interviews. And she pushed and promoted Trump's candidacy zealously, ferociously, enthusiastically. Over and over and over again, she went all over the country campaigning for him. But then she realized that he's not coming through. So she started criticizing him and started pressuring him and started demanding that he act and saying, why aren't you acting? Why aren't you doing something? 2 years into his presidency, after 2 years, he realized that he's going to have to run for re-election and that he won't have any results to show his followers as far as the wall. So then he decided very timidly and in a half-hearted way, he started building the wall. And again, very small construction compared to what because certainly very small construction compared to what was needed and compared to what he promised he would do. And by the way, if you say, well, he wouldn't have been able to do it. First of all, he would have been able to do it. The courts did not stop him. So he would have been able to do it. He would have been able to do it. There's no excuse. They let him do it. They were letting him do it. Why didn't he just build it across the whole border from the beginning? And if you say he would have been able to do it, that means you're saying he was an incompetent, ineffective leader who couldn't carry out his promises or who didn't know how to lead. Because much greater projects than that have been achieved and accomplished in history by leaders. Much greater projects. With countries that have much less technological expertise than the United States of America. So we wouldn't have had this problem. We would not have had this problem if Trump had built that wall. And he didn't. And I just want to say one other thing before we get back to Joe Biden, who is even worse than Trump. But before we get back to Joe Biden, in 2016, let me remind you that we in JTF, we did numerous videos, which YouTube has taken down. We had a whole page warning people about Trump and supporting him. We had Jews for Cruz campaign, and we had a whole campaign for Ted Cruz. We had hundreds and hundreds of videos. with hundreds of thousands of views. In fact, we had just one video, I remember, we had just one video against Marco Rubio showing that he was a supporter of Amnesty. That one video had over 100,000 views. And we had many other videos that we did of Trump, really, really high quality videos on YouTube. They took the channel down. The channel had, I think in the end, had about 800,000 or 900,000 views. They took it down. But we warned people. In the videos, we warned people over and over again that Trump was not going to keep his promise, that Trump had a history of lying and never and broke all of his promises, and you couldn't trust him. You could never trust what he says, even though he claims he kept all of his promises. He kept all of his promises? He said on day one he was going to declare China a currency manipulator. He didn't do it not only on day one, he didn't do it for 4 years. He said he was going to build a big, beautiful wall. Never did it. He said he was going to balance the budget and even give the America a surplus. Not only did he not give America a surplus, did not balance the budget, he was outspending Barack Hussein Obama, and I'm talking about before the corona crisis. He didn't keep any of his promises. He got America far deeper into debt, built up the bureaucracy far more than it was before, and never did the basic things that he was supposed to do. Now, you said to us, all of you, in one voice, you all, I remember this like it was yesterday, dozens of you would come on to the videos and say, no way, this is certainly one promise Donald Trump is going to keep, because this is the centerpiece of his campaign, this is the central theme of his campaign, this is his central focus, that he's going to build a wall and protect America on our southern border and restore border security. This was his focus. This he's certainly going to do. That's one thing he's certainly going to do. Even people who didn't support Trump said, hey, you're exaggerating now, they told us when we said he wasn't going to carry this out. They said, this is the one promise he has to carry out. We said, no, he's not going to carry it out. We predicted he wasn't going to keep his promise even with the wall. And not only that, we made another prediction. Because you all said, if he doesn't keep his promise, everybody will turn against him. And we said, no way. His supporters are so blinded, are so willfully blind. They're so anxious to believe that finally we have a leader who's standing up and doing what they were so anxious to believe that, even though it was all a bluff, even though it was all a fairy tale. They were so anxious to believe that we said his supporters will continue to support him and will completely ignore the fact that he doesn't keep his promise on this issue or on the other issues. They'll ignore it. They won't have any effect. They're going to insist that he had such a great presidency, which is what, I mean, his presidency was a disaster, was a dismal failure. Over 400,000 people died of the coronavirus, way out of proportion to even other countries' death totals. I mean, horrific mismanagement of everything. We have vaccines now that give 95% protection against this virus. And he didn't even have a plan to administer the vaccines. No plan, nothing. Nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. Little Israel has already administered vaccines to one-third of her adult population, at least the first dose. She's given the first dose to one-third of her adult population in the United States. When Trump left office, only between 2 and 3% of the American adult population, I think it was 3%. Let's say it was 3%. I think it was less, but let's say it was 3%. 3% of the U.S. adult population had received the vaccine. I think it was somewhat less than that, 2.8 or 2.7, I don't remember exactly. It was horrific. He completely ignored, he completely abandoned the issue and just didn't do anything about it, just like he did nothing about the wall for the first 2 years of his presidency, and then in the second 2 years, what he did was very little and too little too late. Okay, I had to make that point, and I know that's a big part of the program, but I had to make that point because I want you to understand that the phony right is not going to solve America's problems, and America will go downhill and be destroyed just as quickly by the phony right as by the open left. U.S. population now, let's get back to Joe Biden. U.S. population now is 60% white Anglo. White Anglo means non-Hispanic whites. 60%. It was 85% when I was young. I'm 64 years old. When I was young, when I was a young man, it was 85% white Anglo. Now it's only 60%. And again, I'm 64 years old, so figure 40 years ago, 45 years ago. Look at how fast things have changed. And that 40% non-white population, 40% of America now is non-white. The 40% non-white population, together with the white leftists, which are now a huge percentage of whites, they already are the majority of the U.S. population. That's why Republicans can't win the popular vote anymore. That's why Donald Trump lost the popular vote by over 7 million votes. Joe Biden beat him in the popular vote by over 7 million votes. And it wasn't because of fraud. It's because America has become majority insane. Majority left-wing and majority insane. And you want to continue pretending that didn't happen and pretending and live in a fantasy world and not face the true reality of where we're at? Go ahead. Go ahead. But you're burying the United States by doing so. And non-whites eventually, of course, they're going to be the majority of the population. They're already 40%. And they're going to become the majority, which is what you have in California, in Texas. The two biggest states in population in this country are California and Texas. California is over 60% non-white. Texas, I think, is 53, 54% non-white. Two biggest states are already majority non-white. The only reason Texas still sometimes votes Republican is because many of the Latinos and Asians and other non-whites that are in Texas don't have voting rights yet. They haven't become citizens yet. So the whites are, so the conservative white voters are still a slight majority in Texas, although that's changing. Texas eventually is going to flip just like Georgia flipped in this election. Oh, what a disaster that's going to lead to. Imagine if Texas goes the same way as Georgia and California, and New York, and all these other states. Ooh, wow. Then you can kiss this country goodbye when that happens. And you know, we have the same problem in Israel. Hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa, black Muslim illegal aliens from Africa, have been flooded into Israel in the Netanyahu regime. This happened under, well, Benjamin Netanyahu, that traitor, was prime minister of Israel. And he eventually built a wall on Israel's southern border. He did build a wall on Israel's southern border. But it took him years to do it. He stalled and delayed and deliberately didn't want to do it. Because Netanyahu represents the business interests in Israel who want cheap labor and who want third world people to come flooding into Israel. Just like you have business interests in the United States. They want the illegal aliens to come in. They support legalizing the illegal aliens. There is no lobby that is well organized against granting citizenship to illegal aliens. But there are very effective and powerful and wealthy lobbies in the United States and in Israel that demand that we allow illegal aliens in and that we support them and that we build housing and give them free schools and free hospitalization and free health care and free for everything free. And of course they don't pay taxes and of course they live the lives that they do and they get everything for free. The United States and Israel and Western countries, compared to where the hell holes that they came from, of course that's going to attract more and more and more of them, and then eventually you have the call to legalize them. And then what you have is you have a hostile majority population. The majority population in the United States will no longer be the America that we once knew. Just like in Israel, you'll have a majority non-Jewish population, and you won't have a Jewish state, God forbid, if this continues. Over 70% of South Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is Israel's largest city. Tel Aviv is even larger than Jerusalem. Jerusalem is Israel's capital, Jerusalem. And over 70% of South Tel Aviv are black illegal aliens from Africa. Over 70% of the population are black illegal aliens from the hellholes of Africa. And all of Africa is a hellhole. That whole continent is a cursed hellhole of evil, cruel, primitive, ignorant, stupid, low IQ, worthless people. Jealous, vicious people. Are there exceptions? Now, I'm not a racist because I recognize that there are exceptions to the rule. There are exceptions. And I'm not against black people because of the color of their skin. Absolutely not. I couldn't care less about anyone's skin color. I couldn't care less about anyone's ethnic background as far as their physical, racial, or genetic characteristics. What bothers me is if they choose evil. And the vast majority of blacks have chosen evil. They've chosen a path of evil. Everywhere where they live, there's evil. And jealousy, hatred, cruelty. Same thing with the Arabs. Same thing with other third world cultures. And I don't want that taking over Israel, God forbid. And Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, who pretended for years to be a right-winger, now he's not even running as a right-winger, he's not even pretending. But he pretended for many years to be a right-winger, Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud. They have allowed this to happen to Israel. They're destroying the state of Israel from within, God forbid. And now you got Joe Biden doing this. And again, if Donald Trump had done his job, could have been stopped. Could have been stopped. By the way, in Israel, they come in now through the airport. And they're allowed to come in through the airport, and they're crossing through other places. And you know, another thing, that a terrible thing that Trump and Netanyahu did to Israel, because Trump was terrible for Israel and Netanyahu has been a catastrophe for Israel. They signed these so-called peace agreements with the United Arab Emirates and Dubai and Morocco. You know what that leads to? That means that people traveling from those countries, Arabs, Arab Muslims traveling from those countries, can come into Israel. And there's an agreement that they can come in even without visas. They don't even need a visa. They can just come in and travel freely between Israel and those Arab countries. All they need is a passport from Dubai or Morocco or the United Arab Emirates, and they come in and that's it. Now, do I have to tell you that many, many of the Arab Muslims and other Muslims that live in those countries, and there are non-Arab Muslims also live in those countries, many of them would like to come to Israel and stay in Israel? And when they come to Israel and find out that when they stay there, Netanyahu never deports the illegal aliens. He does not deport them, just as Trump and Biden and the other presidents have not deported the illegals in the United States. Nobody deports illegals anymore. Now, it's true that some eventually are deported, but not in the numbers that you need. There are. Obama deported millions of illegal aliens when he was president. And Trump deported illegal aliens when he was president. But again, There was no policy of going out and finding illegal aliens and deporting them, rounding them up and deporting them. That's what I'm referring to. That didn't exist, and that's what you need. You need to go business to business, punish business leaders that hire them, make it illegal to hire them, and deport them, round them up, and throw them out of the country. That's what you need to do. No American president, no Israeli prime minister has ever done that, and that's what has to be done. They're in the country illegally. You have full legal power to deport them, to just deport them and throw them out. They are in the country illegally. By the way, Ann Coulter, I was mentioning Ann Coulter, that she was one of the strong supporters of Donald Trump. She was the one person, after supporting him so enthusiastically and campaigning for him and speaking out for him and writing column after column after column, strongly urging people to vote for him, and she organized people to get voters out for him, and she did so much for him, spoke at all of his rallies, and she's a very, very, very effective speaker. She is the one Trumpster who was honest and who now will not support him. And by the way, now you don't hear from her anymore. Why? Because Fox and all the conservative media that accuse Facebook, they're right when they say that Facebook censors and Twitter censors and all the, but Fox also censors and all the others, they also censor. If you don't support Trump, you're not allowed to express your opinions on conservative sites. You got to support Trump. You got to support the dictator. And he did operate like a dictator. And so now she's no longer visible. She was the one honest person who really meant what she was saying, who didn't care about the cult of personality and why you're so attracted to his hideous personality. I don't know. He's a hideous, dishonest, orange clown. I don't know why you're attracted to his personality. and a completely immoral individual, a serial adulterer, a thief, a liar, who ripped people off with Trump University and has cheated and lied his way through life over and over again. He's hundreds of millions, at least hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars in debt, and his businesses all went bankrupt, and he went to try to get foreign money to try to get out of it. And yes, it's not the Russia hoax that they keep saying, the Russia hoax. It wasn't a hoax. He is in hock to Russia and to Vladimir Putin. And he is their slave. And he defended them at every step as president. And there's a reason when Donald Trump does something like that. But anyway, neither Netanyahu nor Trump would round them up and deport them in large numbers. If you don't deport them, and if you don't build walls around your country, and if you don't have a stern policy of keeping them out, you're going to be invaded. You're going to be taken over. God forbid that Israel should be taken over by black Muslims from Africa, who, of course, black Muslims from Africa, what did they bring with them to South Tel Aviv? Rape, murder, drugs, prostitution, all types of violent crime, robberies and burglaries, and the things that people in cities like New York and Chicago and Washington, D.C., the wonderful things that they got used to. And by the way, the blacks in America have been in America for 400 years, and they still haven't changed their ways. When they move into a neighborhood, all of a sudden the crime rate goes through the ceiling. After 400 in the United States, you would think that they would adopt the culture of the United States and they wouldn't act like black Africans do. But no. The black Africans, when they move to a place, crime rate goes through the ceiling. American blacks, when they live in some place, crime rate goes through the ceiling. Amazing. And I know I'm not allowed to tell the truth. They can lie. They can have Louis Farrakhan on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else. He was on Facebook for years. He's on Twitter to this day. And he's on YouTube, all over the place. Someone who has praised Hitler and has called for the extermination of the entire Jewish people and of the entire white race. And he's allowed to do whatever he wants and say whatever he wants. Because he's black. He's a black Nazi, but black Nazis are perfectly acceptable. Black Lives Matter is a black Nazi organization. They're worshipped. They're supported by the President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States. And so, we've got to have change in Israel. The United States, unfortunately, had an election already. You had a chance in the United States in 2016 to have real change with Ted Cruz. You didn't want it. You rejected it, so you were stuck with two bad choices in 2016 and in 2020, and look at what it led to. Look at what it led to. Remember, Trump said, win, 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 we're going to win, we're going to win so much. He turned into a real winner, didn't he? He really has been a real winner. Keep living in your fantasy world. Just keep it up. Keep it up as you go over the cliff. As you fall over the cliff and fall into the abyss. Keep living in your fantasy world. Go ahead. I mean, what if you had listened to us all these years and had supported people who really intended to carry out policies? Can you imagine how much better things would have been in the United States and Israel, everywhere? Now, Netanyahu is running against very bad people also. The people running against him are very bad. Gideon Sa'ar, Yair Lapid. People running against him are terrible people. But we need to have a change. We need to get him out because he is so clever and so manipulative and so brilliant at doing bad things. He's not clever. He doesn't do anything good. He doesn't use his cleverness for good. He lies and manipulates people and uses it for evil, to carry out evil policies. And we explained on last week's program the terrible things he's doing. He's legitimizing Arab political parties that call for the destruction of Israel and wants to bring them into his coalition. And I mean, terrible things he's doing. Terrible things he's doing. He is a real danger to Israel. And there's no question that even if he goes down and someone like Gideon Sa'ar, let's say Gideon Sa'ar replaces him as prime minister, as a result of the election. Israel's election is going to be held on March 23rd, election for the Knesset, which is the Israeli parliament. Let's say Netanyahu loses and Gideon Saar and the parties that he represents take over. Gideon Saar will be a terrible prime minister and a terrible leader as well. But, we need to try to have a change, because we already know with Netanyahu, he's doing the worst possible things on every front, and he's doing it very cleverly in a very cunning way, and it's really, really hurting Israel and really hurting the Jewish people and hurting the settlement movement in Judea and Samaria and hurting our chances of survival. We've got to get rid of him. He's got to go. The good news is thousands of Israeli Jewish Jews and Israeli Jewish voters are getting JTF videos now every single day because we've stepped up our advertising campaign. We can't do that. We can't do that all year round in every situation. We can't afford it. But during the campaign, thousands of Israeli Jews are receiving are getting our message and seeing our videos because we have an advertising campaign, and so thousands of Israeli Jews are seeing the type of message that I'm bringing you in, of course it's in form of 60 and 120 second commercials, but very effective commercials. Thousands are seeing this every single day until election day in Israel, which is March 23rd. And so I hope that this persuades Israeli Jews not to vote for Netanyahu or his hideous party, the Likud being responsible for over 90% of the surrender of Jewish land since the 1967 Six-Day War. The Likud is the party that has expelled over 90% of the Jews who've been thrown out of their homes since the 1967 war. It's been done by the Likud under Likud governments, not under governments of the open left. So he must go. He has got to go. And we're doing everything we can to do that, to effectuate that change. I don't know if we're going to succeed. Netanyahu is very clever, and the polls show that he's very strong. It shows that it's close, but he's still very strong and very clever and very effective. And in the last minute, voters sometimes swing toward him in the last minute because he knows how to effectively pull it off. He's more effective than his opponents in terms of winning the election. In terms of being prime minister, he's the worst prime minister. But in terms of winning the election, he knows how to win elections. That he knows how to do. Which is another nightmare. Because it means he knows how to convince people to do the wrong thing and to believe in the wrong things. So he's very dangerous. He's a very dangerous serpent. He is a serpent. And so I don't know if we're going to succeed. We may not. But at least we're doing everything we can. And we're obligated to try our best. We don't always succeed. You can't always succeed in this world. But you have to try your best. We're in this world to be active. We're in this world to do things. If you're Jewish, you've got to do things for your fellow Jews. If you're a Gentile, you want to be a righteous Gentile. You want to do things on behalf of the Jewish people and to make it a better world. We're in this world, we've got to be activists. We've got to do things. We've got to be willing to sacrifice for justice and truth and righteousness. That's what you're in this world for. If we don't do those things, if we're apathetic and indifferent and sit back, or if we just claim to agree and then don't actually do anything about it, someday we have to answer for that on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment, God forbid. So JTF gives you an opportunity to do things. And that's what we should be doing. Pushing for positive change and pushing to tell the truth in a world where there is very little truth being told. Once again, I want to end off though by saying what we always say on this program. Hashem, God has promised us that in the end, maybe another 100 years from now, maybe another 200 years from now, I don't know. But it's coming. It's coming, and we're getting close, because the return of the Jews to the land of Israel in 1948 is the beginning of the redemption. It's not going to be 500 years from now. That for sure is not going to be. It could be another 50 years from now, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, or it could be another 10 years from now. I don't know. A lot of it's really up to us. But the end is coming. And when the end comes, the good guys are going to win in the end. There will finally be justice, and this time it'll be eternal. This time it'll be forever. The third return of the Jews to the land of Israel is forever. And that will bring the final, that will bring Geulah Shlema V'Sofit, complete and final redemption to Israel and to the righteous Gentiles throughout the world. So we got to do our job. We got to do the best we can under difficult circumstances, because we live in a world where truth is very scarce, and where people don't want to tell the truth, and where people want to say what's popular and politically correct, and what's easy to do. They want to go the easy road, which in the end becomes the hard road, but people don't see it that way in the short term. They don't understand that until it's too late. We want to be a voice of truth. And if you're with us and we work together, that's what we're aiming for. And again, if we in JTF with our advertising campaign to reach the voters of Israel, if we can just pry a couple of seats, one or two seats away from the Likud block, because there are going to be two blocks. There's going to be the Netanyahu block and there's going to be the anti-Netanyahu block. And we want the anti-Netanyahu block to win. We want Netanyahu out. And if it's very close between the two blocks, as it's been in the past three, they had three elections during the past 2 years because it's been so close. If in this fourth election the polls are right and it's going to be very close once again, if that happens once again, as all the polls indicate, if we could just pry with our advertising campaign one or two seats away from the Likud block to the other side, that might make a difference. If it's close enough, that could make a difference. You never know. You never know. Anyway, God willing, Bezrat Hashem, let's hope that we can succeed, that Hashem should have mercy on his people and on his land and on his Torah, and that if not for our sake, then for his great name's sake, that we should have a victory and that we should defeat the forces of evil and that we should finally do what we can to bring truth and justice to the world. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.